I do have sniffles, and I still have sniffles, and so if I sniffle a little bit, you'll just have to be aware of that. Today is the last Sunday of 2018. Now, for us older folks, we recognize this more than you younger folks do. We recognize that this year has passed in the blink of an eye, that our year has come to an end in a moment, in a moment. So I'm 62, so that means at 80, I have 8 more moments left. I might only have 8 more moments left, but I only have 8 more moments left. It should be a call to us whenever we come to the end, to the last Sunday. What if today were your last Sunday in church? What would you like to receive from your last Sunday in church? Well, I know that right off the bat in my life that I would love to know that I know that I know that He is mine and I'm His. That I would be embraced and enveloped in His arms and would rejoice in Him being my Savior for now and for all of eternity. To know that, to realize that, yea, in my heart to leap in my bosom to know that. This morning we come to the last Sunday of 2014, and truly we are but a moment, and He is forever. In the reading of Psalm 70, I'm going to rehearse it again, the main emphasis today will be under the word that He seemingly commands unto us, but yes, He commands unto us. Let such as love thy salvation say continually, let God be magnified. So since I believe with all my heart in our midst, we have many here today who love His salvation, we can say, let God be magnified. Okay, let's say that. Let God be magnified. Okay, so we're going to look for Him to be bigger today in our eyes than He has been. Verse 1, make haste, O God, to deliver me. Make haste to help me, O Lord. It's very important that we always know where to go to. I've had some down moments in the last few days. I have been a little bit down in sickness too. Not as much as Linda, but I have been a little bit down. And those down moments caused me to catch my breath. So this week I sat down and I watched a movie. And in that movie, a guy dies. And I watch him die. I've never seen a real person die. And that's amazing that I say that, because I've been so close to seeing many, many, many people die. But I have never seen anyone take their last breath. But in the movie, he took his last breath. Well, I got to meditating on that as I was catching my breath. When you've got a cold, sometimes breathing is not as strong as it would be. When you get 62, it's not strong at all, hardly at all. And I caught my breath, and I said, oh, Lord, it's fitting that we know where to go to immediately. Oh, Lord, let's sit down and have a talk. Make haste, O God, to deliver me. Make haste and help me, O Lord, is the first way he starts out the passage. And then immediately David does something that he does all the time. He runs to the enemy. He runs to all of those that he's had to fight throughout his life, whether it be his own flesh, the devil, all of those who were his enemies. He says in verse 2, let them be ashamed and confounded that seek after my soul. Let them be turned backward, put to confusion, that desire my hurt. Verse 3, let them be turned back for reward of their shame that say, aha, aha. There were those who mocked David. There were those who spit upon him. Those were those that used his name in many bad ways. And David here constantly returns to this theme in his life. He was always challenged by enemies. And I would that more of us would be more challenged by enemies than we are. We somewhat have a piece of cake in our lives, and I somewhat wonder if we don't need to pray for more enemies to battle. And I can share with you how you can have more enemies to battle is you do what it says in verse 4, and that's what we're going to get to here in a minute. You'll have more to battle. And then once again, David turns in verse 4 and verse 5, he turns again, and he says these words, let all those that seek thee rejoice and be glad in thee, and let such as love thy salvation say continually, let God be magnified. That verse right there is rehearsed in two other places in the Psalms. It's rehearsed in Psalm 35 and it's rehearsed in Psalm 40. Those same words, let such as love thy salvation say continually, let God be magnified. And you know, it's amazing, we sing in our hearing quite often, holy, holy, holy. Our Lord is thrice holy. The Bible uses, and the writers in the Hebrews and the Greek, they would use redundancy. David is amazingly redundant in saying words again and again and again so we would get the message. We would get the message. And so David does this in the Psalms in this context that he says this passage three different times, three different places, but he continues to repeat it because he wants us to get this, that there needs to be before our eyes, how shall I say, a watchword, a word that flows forth from our lips. Whenever we're contending with the world, contending with enemies, contending with the difficulties and trials of our life, we run to our Lord and we say these words, let God be magnified. It's not about me. It's about Him. Let God be magnified. As we come to this passage, I would like to think through that with you. It says here in verse 4, primarily is going to be the focus now. Verse 4 says, let all those that seek thee rejoice. And those that have sought the Lord, they found Him. And have been found of Him. This is speaking of those that rejoice in the salvation of the Lord. As it says in the next part of that verse, and such as love thy salvation, say continually. The Lord here is speaking to us as Christian men and women, that one of our anthems that's to go forth from our lips as ones who have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb is the magnification of our Lord. God is to be magnified in all that we do and say. He's to be a centerpiece. He's to be the central thing, the theme of our life. He's to be truly the God of our life and not another idol, not another God, not someone else, not something else. He's not being replaced by work as so often it is. We can become involved in our works. I'm a man who's definitely could have been and has been and is described as a workaholic. I can do that. I can be described as such, but it's never to displace the precious blessing of the glories of our Lord. As I am confident that most everyone here present is a child of the King. They've had grace poured upon them from God. They've been justified by our God. We have been purchased by the precious blood of Christ. We lift up Christ and we rejoice in Him. And so we say these words, let God be magnified. Let God be magnified. And yet these words are couched right in front of a verse that says, unto mockers and to scorners and to unbelievers who say, aha, aha, let them be turned back for a reward for their shame. Right before that, it's couched in that backdrop right there where it says, let God be magnified. And it's done so because we do have challenges. We do have instances run upon us. We're challenged as Christian men and women every day, and great is the challenge sometimes. Great is the challenge to know how to respond to the circumstances that are around us, how to respond. And oh, our response is to be loving the Lord Jesus Christ, loving our God, rejoicing that He is our Creator and that He is our God. And our response is to be that, a magnifying Him and rejoicing in His name. There are many that will be scoffers. And I would share with you that we should note there are many that run after their beliefs with great intensity. I believe that could be seen in the first verses that we read right there, but it's clearly seen in the words of our Lord where He said unto us that the Pharisees will cover land and sea. They will cross land and sea to make one disciple, to make one proselyte. They'll go far and wide to make their ways known. We're to be those who continually say with our lips, let God be magnified. We're to hold forth before our eyes, let God be magnified. And I may say that 100 times in this message. May God be magnified. The devil is roaming this world, to and fro, going about, seeking whom he may devour. He's continually doing that. May we be continually doing this, loving the salvation of the Lord and magnifying our Lord and our God. Should not we, as his people, speak forth his name in love with his salvation? In love with his salvation. We are to be those who make Christ known. We're to be those who look at this call from the psalmist right here and says, let God be magnified. He was a man after God's own heart. And I tremble to think at times that I'm a man after God's own heart. Oh Lord, I want to be that man who says, let God be magnified in everything in life. We're to seek him. We're to be glad in him. We're to be those who love his salvation, as it says in the verse before us. And if we have grasped the salvation of the Lord and we have grasped his grace, the completeness of his salvation, then it should be a yearning in our hearts that he be magnified as our great Savior, Jesus Christ our Lord. We should count his word as profitable. We should be men after the word. I have read a lot this last week. I've been off from work, and I've just opened my Bible and just read and read and read and read and read. And it's been good for me. I have missed it. I have been overly busy. If you're too busy that you can't read the Word of God, you're too busy. And I have been too busy in the last few weeks, the last few months. Since I've taken another office and I'm in a new situation and my whole life has become distracted, it's been very difficult to find time to be active in the Word of God. And the last few days have been a great refreshment. We should find the Word of God profitable in our lives all the time, my brothers and sisters. We're to fight to be those who are after the Word of God. We're to read it. We're to memorize it. We're to be studious about it. We're to meditate upon it. As our brother Chris went through the godly disciplines of recent days in the Sunday school hours, one of those disciplines was to be profitable in the Word of God, to find great profit there. The Scriptures that we search show forth the fullness of this salvation that is ours in Christ Jesus the Lord. And so we don't hold the good news of the gospel. We don't to hold the Word of God just superficially. We want to be those who dive into it and find jewels and gems and pearls constantly, my brothers and sisters. May it be dear and near to our hearts. But the passage is also a call. It says, as those who love thy salvation, let us also have a love for the Savior. The one of whom we've just sung. Matter of fact, thank you for the selections that you made this morning, Pastor Donnie. My heart was full. Oh, should we not love him? Should we not love him? We love his salvation. Of course we love his salvation and all he does to us. But should we not love him? Should we not love our Savior, the one who called us? And he's often called our salvation. Jesus Christ is our salvation. He's the person of it. He's the author. He's the finisher. He's the Alpha. He's the Omega. He's the beginning. He's the end of our salvation, my brothers and sisters. He is divine. He is God the Son. He was equal with God, and yet he humbled himself for you and for I. What a gloriously beautiful thing. He came and became one of us and took on flesh, and that, as we sang a while ago, that we should hold God in our hands. That his mother Mary should have held the God of the universe in her hands. That he would humble himself and become flesh for us. That's the kind of Savior we have. And he is the eternal Son of God, the infinite one, the Creator, the Maker has come. And he has become one of us, and he became one of us in all of our infirmities he came. He became hungry. He knew what it was to hunger. He knew what it was to thirst. I dare say he knew what it was to have a cold or a headache. He knew what it was to be rejected. He knew what it was to work. I believe he knew what it was to have blisters on his hands. He knew what it was to be in the midst of all the infirmities of man. And yet he was ridiculed, he was mistreated. He who was perfectly good was perfectly mistreated. He knew what it was to agonize, and to bleed, and to die. He knew all these things, my brothers and sisters. And we should be those who love him as our Savior and love his salvation every moment of our day. Not to be away from him, not thinking of him. Oh, to keep our minds and our hearts constantly upon him is a worthy desire. What wondrous love is this, that he would choose one like us, ones like you or I, to be his. What a wondrous love is this, oh my soul, oh my soul. Let God be magnified. Let God be magnified by those who love his salvation. May they continually say, let God be magnified. We see also in the passage that we have to see, because salvation is mentioned here, that God had a great plan. He had a great plan. And that great plan centered around the person of his son, and that great plan was a plan of salvation for men. And that plan can be summed up in one word, and that plan is this. The one word is substitution. Our Lord came and stood in our stead. With his stripes, we are healed. I'll make a few comments, but if you would, turn back, and I'd like to just read a few moments from Isaiah 53. It speaks so clearly there and so beautifully there of him in his substitution for us. He substituted himself. He came to stand in our stead. He who knew no sin became sin for us. Let me read Isaiah 53 for you. Who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form or comeliness. And when we shall see him, there's no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Listen at verse 4. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. And we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. Verse 5. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. You see the substitution of our Lord for ourselves there. He stood in our stead. Oh, blessed be his name. Let God be magnified that he stood in our stead. Verse 6, all we like sheep have grown astray. We've turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and a sheep before her shears is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. I could read further, but my goodness, we see so clearly the substitution of our Lord. He was wounded for us. He was bruised for us. With his stripes we are healed. Oh, let God be magnified. And then it says, who are the subjects? Who are the objects? Let me turn back. Who are the objects of this salvation? Who are the objects of this love? Sinners such as you and I. We're the objects of his love. Wandering sheep, full of selfishness and pride and lust and worldliness, full of all those things. Full of bitterness and malice and sloth, and yea, unclean in every way. And the Lord even declares unto us that we're enemies of God. And yet it's for us he sent forth his love. And his goal was to sanctify us, to make us clean. Justin touched on that as he touched on total depravity this morning. Good job, by the way. And he spoke of that God didn't save us to remain sinners. He saved us to be saints. He saved us to walk after him and to follow him, to make us clean and to wash us whiter than snow, and to call us, adopt us as sons and daughters and to heirs of a kingdom, that we are his, and we're not to be content to just be called sinners. And even though it is very true, really true, that we can sing with all of our hearts, only a sinner saved by grace. And yet, God calls us to walk after him in holiness, to follow after him. We're to run after Christ and to love him, to obey him, to worship him. Let him be magnified. Let the Lord be magnified. Cleanse us this day and magnify your name. It's a beautiful thing to me that we're saved forever and ever. Sometimes when we get into a weak spot, we somewhat doubt our Lord and we struggle. I've been there. I'm sure y'all have in days gone by in your life. We struggle, but we are safe in his arms. We can rehearse in our spirits we are accepted in the beloved. We can rehearse that we're heirs with Christ Jesus our Lord. Who shall condemn us? It is Christ that justifies. It is Christ who is dying. Who can condemn us? In this substitution for us, we can live our lives fully assured with great confidence in our God that his salvation is eternal and forever and ever, and that we're safe in the midst of that salvation. Let him be magnified. Let God be magnified. I'd further state that this salvation that's his from our Lord is so complete. I love that line in Philip Bliss's song, "Hallelujah, what a Savior, man of sorrows, what a name." And it says, "A full atonement can it be that thou, my God, shouldst die for me." We have a full atonement. The animals, the sacrifices of the Old Testament were set forth before the eyes of the children of Israel, and they were a foreshadowing. But we saw that these series of sacrifices were always incomplete. They were never complete. But we see the salvation of our Lord as being complete. They had to do those sacrifices over and over again. But what does the writer in Hebrews say to us? He says, "But this man, our great Redeemer, our great Melchizedek, the Lord Jesus Christ, but this man, after he had offered one sacrifice, even himself, he sat down." Job complete. Job finished. He sat down at the right hand of God on high. Our Lord Jesus Christ has given us a complete salvation, my brothers and sisters. And we can say, let God be magnified. Let God be magnified. On the cross, our Lord declared the completeness of salvation by saying, "It is finished." And he had finished transgressions. There he made an end of sin for his people. And he became the author of eternal salvation. And we love him for it. And may his name be magnified for it. What a gloriously beautiful thing. So the psalmist calls us. He says, "And let such as love thy salvation say continually, let God be magnified." Now, I understand and know that we won't say that every time, every day, all the time in our lives. But I think it's a good watchword to carry before us. It says, "Let God be magnified," by the way. It doesn't say, "Let man be magnified." It doesn't say, "Let the preacher be magnified." It doesn't say, "Let anything else be magnified," but "the God of heaven be magnified," because he is the one that has wrought the salvation for us. Not others, God alone. He has done it all. It's been his great love for us that has done this. And it's a wonder that any of us should be saved, but it's a glory unto his name that God would love us and save us, as well. Our great joy should be ours in this love of our Lord Jesus Christ. I've asked myself many times the words of the old hymn, "Why me, Lord? Why me, Lord?" why me, Lord? Why wasn't I born in India worshiping a rock right now? Why me, Lord? Why wasn't I born in Iran bowing to Allah right now? Why me, Lord? Why me, Lord? It's because of his love. He did not pass you by, if you're his this day. He did not pass me by. I rejoice to be able to confess him as mine. He hath loved us. And with all of our hearts and all of our being and full sincerity, it's our privilege to proclaim, let God be magnified. May it be foremost in our lives to magnify him. May it be first place in our lives. Our lives are not to be held in other ways. Our first place is to magnify our Lord. Magnify the Lord. May it be continual. It says that in the passage. May they say continually. May it be a continual, constant thing in our lives. May it never stop, for he never stops loving us. And I also would say that it's absolute and it's far-reaching in the sense that everyone, every saint, every child of God should be those who magnify the Lord, whether they're rich men or poor men, man, woman, boy, girl, cross denominations everywhere in every land and every place and every person who knows the Lord and loves his salvation. May they be those who magnify his name. So it's a good call to us this morning. It's a watchword to our lives. So often I'll get filled up with so many things that I lose sight of him. May we not do that. May we run in the direction of seeing him in everything that we do. May our devotions to him be daily, if not momently. May our devotions to him be constant. May we continually, ongoingly, without a heart to stop, because he never stops loving us, and thank the Lord, he never stops loving us. May we be continual in saying, let God be magnified. In my life and all that I am, in your life and all that you are, give yourself to him. Let he be magnified. Let's bow our heads and hearts. Oh, Father.